Hebrews 10:22. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with clean from the evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Hebrews 10:22. Some of you could see that from where you're sitting. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. I can see that you can see it, so let's do it. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold close to the confession of our hope, for he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. John 15:15. Again, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. John 15:15. If you will, please, I will ask you to turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. And our verses for this morning are verses 1, 2, and 3. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. And the subject today is, and now you'll be able to see it, the millennium. We'll be getting to this in just a few moments. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3, and the subject is the millennium. We're going to spend a few moments in prayer before we begin our study. I appreciate the fact that you are anxious to get some more information in relationship to God's plan for the ages. We've said many times, and I repeat again today, your existence, my existence, is not an accident. You and I are here because God desires for us to be here. No matter what your age, no matter what your circumstances are, no matter what has transpired in your life in the past and is transpiring now, you can put it down that God has a reason and a purpose for your and my existence. We are not here by accident. God wants us here. If he did not want us here, he would have already taken us home. He's chosen to allow us to still be here. And so we're here for the purpose of fulfilling his design and his plan for our lives. We had to be careful every single day to desire what he wants us to do, and that means that we have a desire to love his word, to be perceptive to his word, to utilize and make application of his word, to metabolize his word. That simply means that when we are responsible for hearing the word of God on a daily basis, we're then to take those things which we hear and learn and utilize and make application of those magnificent truths. Before we begin our scripture reading, may we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful that we are your children, saved by your matchless grace. Heaven is our eternal home, not because we deserve that magnificent gift, but because of your graciousness and love and concern for mankind. We realize that the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Some years ago, we did that. We're convinced that the people in this auditorium today have also done just that. No matter how many years ago, we realize that when we made that decision, we accepted you and you accepted us. And that gives us the assurance that heaven is our eternal home. And one of these days, He will take us home either by means of the rapture or by means of physical death. And when that takes place, the Scripture says we'll be absent from this body, but we'll be at home with our Lord. While we're here, we realize that You have a plan for us to study and to learn and make application of Your magnificent truths. We thank You for the opportunity to do that again today. We pray that these moments will be extremely beneficial and profitable for us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key of the abyss and a chain, a great chain, on his hand. That's Revelation chapter 20, verse 1. I have this scripture in hand. You have it before you in your Bible. We're not going to exegete this. I'm going to read it and make some points. I saw an angel coming down out of heaven from God, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his right hand. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, who is devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Follow carefully as I read and you look at the scripture. He laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Revelation chapter 20, verse 3, and cast him into the abyss, and shut and sealed over him, in order that he should not deceive any longer the nations, till 1,000 years are finished. And after that, he must be loosed a little time. I'll have you spend just a few moments with me in looking at the third verse of Revelation 20. Cast him into the abyss, shut and sealed over him, in order that he should not deceive longer, any longer, the nations, till 1,000 years are finished. After that, he must be loosed a little time. Most of you are aware of the fact that many books have been written in relationship to the end time. More than 80 books have been written by a man by the name of Tim LaHaye. Some of you are familiar with that name. Left Behind, many of you are familiar with the writings of this individual. More than 80 books. One of the books that has been written by him, by the way, he passed away just about 3 or 4 years ago. One of the books was entitled Charting the End Time. And he gives us information in relationship to the scripture that I just read to you in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1, 2, and 3. some interesting things have been presented by theologians and by this particular man that I thought might be interesting to you today. And that is, when you go to the last chapter of the book of Daniel, chapter 12, you will find what theologians have said. This is the presentation of Daniel's 70th week. The 70th week of Daniel. It has to do with the 7 years of tribulation. So I have a little diagram here. I'll hold it up for you to see. And if you can't see it, I'll explain it. 70th week of Daniel. Second coming. 1 week, found in the book of Daniel, emphasizes 7 years. Divided in two sections. 3.5 years. 1,260 days and 3.5 years, another 3.5 years, 1,260 days. I don't think you'll have any difficulty with that, but I just want you to see that Daniel's 70th week is described in the Scripture as a time and a half a time, 3.5 years, 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 1,260 days. This is presented to us in the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, but it's also presented to us in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. So Revelation chapter 6, Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, gives us a summary of Daniel's 70th week. What is interesting, when you get into the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, you will discover that after 360 days are presented, then you will read in the last part of the 12th chapter that there is an additional 30 days added. And then you read on and you will discover that there's another 45 days added. So you add 30 and 45, you'll discover that there are 75 days. Now, what we have here is an interesting thing, and we're not going to spend a lot of time here other than to tell you that the Scripture emphasizes that the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, the church age, dispensation, come over to the end of the age of grace, the rapture. After the rapture comes the 7 years of tribulation, which is a continuation and consummation of the age of Israel. Over the last weeks, we've analyzed that quite thoroughly. We've taken a look at what would be taking place on the earth at that time, what would be taking place in heaven at that time. I'm not going to repeat all that other than to tell you that on the earth, the time of Scripture is described as the tribulation. And the last 3.5 years of that period of time is called the Great Tribulation. Most of us by now are aware of the fact that when the rapture occurs, believers of the church age will be taken out. And we, as individuals having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we will be absent from the body at home with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've emphasized in recent days that there's going to be what is known as the marriage of the Lamb. There's also going to be what is known as the judgment, the bema, this judgment seat of Christ. Most of us by now have a pretty good picture of what takes place on the earth, knowing the fact that the last 3.5 years of the tribulation will be the most serious time, finalized with the Battle of Armageddon. Some of you, when I'm saying all these things, it registers with you very well because you've been there in your study many times. What I'm trying to do right now is to present to you that the Scripture says that there's going to be, for us who go out of here at the time of the rapture, there's going to be the evaluation of born-again believers, saved individuals, at the time called the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Not related to salvation at all, but related to rewards. And then there's that wonderful time known as the marriage of the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb, as all of us are aware of, is an emphasis upon the fact that this is the marriage of the Lamb. And the Lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's going to perform that marriage? I've concluded that there can only be one who could do that. And that would be the Heavenly Father. I don't know what all this is doing to your mind right now, but I'm trying to help you see that there are unique things in the Word of God. And the more we study, the more we learn, and the more we are able to appreciate what God has done and is doing and will do for each of us. When I open my Bible to the last chapter of the book of Daniel, and I ask you, if you will, please, if you can find the book of Daniel. It comes right before Hosea. And some of you may have difficulty finding Hosea. But that's okay. Turn in your Bible and see if you can find the book of Daniel. I'll see if I can help you. We looked at Jonah today. Back up some. You'll find Zephaniah. When you find Matthew, you've gone too far. Back up, please. All the way back to the book of Daniel. The 12th chapter of the book of Daniel is an interesting passage. And when I read this, you're going to be able to see where I'm getting this information. Daniel chapter 12, verse 11 says, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." I just told you a few moments ago that the tribulation is divided into 2 3.5 years. 3.5 years, 1,260 days. And 1,260 days. The first 3.5 years, 1,260 days. The last 3.5 years, 1,260 days. Now, if you'll notice what I've just read to you, it says, there shall be 1,290 days. If I figure correctly, in looking at that, 1,260 days, and you add 30 days, that gives you this 1,290 days. That's not difficult, is it? You're looking at it, just keep your eyes focused there. And then it says in verse 12, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 and 30 days." Now that spells 1,335 days. If you'll figure that out, you will discover that that's an additional 45 days. Theologians will tell you, those who've done a lot of study here, they will say, this is the first 75 days of the millennium, the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is, why? This is a fulfillment of the scripture in Daniel chapter 9, presented in Revelation chapter 6, that deals with Daniel's 70th week, the tribulation or the last 7 years of the Jewish age. I get very excited about this because I believe that God is a God of time. I believe God is a God who knows His planning. He puts things together very well. And you and I must be aware of the fact that if we study God's Word seriously, intentionally, consistently, we're going to be able to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. And we're going to be able to see God's timing, God's plan of the ages. Quickly, let me just summarize, and then I want to move into a point discussion. If we have 75 days at the beginning of the millennium, the question that I have in the light of all of this is why? Well, Tim LaHaye, other theologians have said, and I believe this is true, that the first 30 days that have been added to this, from the 1260 to 1290, has to be a presentation of the cleansing of the temple. So if I were you, I would write out by the side of 1260, add 30 days, and out by the side of the 30 days, put cleansing of the temple. That takes you from 1260 to 1290. Then I wonder about the 45 days. I put down here what theologians have said. This has to be a presentation of the judgment of the nations, which takes you then to 1,335. I'm aware of the fact, and I believe you are too, that last 3.5 years of the tribulation, where you have the Battle of Armageddon, it's going to be a terrible time, a destructive time. So much destruction on the earth. And it appears that it is only normal and natural that the Lord will do some cleansing. So that's the reason why theologians have said the first 30 days will be the cleansing, and the next 45 days will be the judgment of the nations. I would ask you, please, for the next few moments to just listen carefully. God gave the Jews 490 years to glorify Him, and we all know that they failed. Their failure was the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, from 586 to 516 B.C. Please listen very attentively. You'll see how this fits together. The scripture says that God was giving the Jews 490 years to glorify Him, and they failed. And their failure was the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, from 586 to 516. A part of their failure was that they did not observe their sabbatical years, and they accumulated 70 sabbaticals in those 490 years. And they decided and they took them all out at one time. Then God gave them another 490 years. But it was cut short at 483. If you do a little math there, you will discover that's 7 years short. That has to be then the 7 years of the tribulation. The cross, the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross interrupted the time. The time was cut short into which the church age was inserted. If you're listening carefully, you're getting this, and it's making sense. How many times have I said over the last 45 years, we have the age of the Gentiles, we have the age of Israel. God's plan was for them to be the instruments of evangelization. They cut short. They didn't do it. We discover that that time was interrupted with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth as the God-man. We have the insertion then of a time that has not been presented in the Old Testament called the mysterion, the mystery, the church age. The church age is where you and I now live. We do not know exactly how long or much longer that church age will continue to exist. The rapture could occur at any moment. But I promise you that when the age of grace is finalized, there will be then again, and I've said this hundreds of times, the continuation and consummation of the age of Israel with the 7 years of tribulation. The cross interrupted the time. The time was cut short into which the church age was inserted. And that's where you and I are now. That's the summary. It's found in Daniel chapter 9, 24 through 27. Could I take about 10 minutes now before we leave to give you a quick summary? Number one, the Jews had 490 years, the scripture says. Number two, they missed their sabbatical years every 7 years. Divide 7 into 490, and you have 70. So, God gave them these 70 in 70 years of Babylonian captivity. I'm summarizing this for you. If you want me to back up, I will. Number one, the Jews were given 490 years. Number two, they missed their sabbatical years every 7 years. Number three, you divide 7 into 490 and you get 70. So then, number four, God gave them these 70 years of Babylonian captivity. Number five, then God said to Daniel, I will give you another 490 years to complete your responsibility. Notice number five again. God said to Daniel, I will give you another 490 years to complete your responsibility. Number six, however, 483 years from that time of the Babylonian captivity, the cross occurred. I put in parentheses here in my notes, 7 weeks equals 49 years. Then 62 weeks, Daniel 9:25 equals 434 plus the 49 years is 483. But when I look at that, I discover that that's 7 years short. Isn't that interesting? This means then that the Jewish period was cut short by 7 years. And this is the exact amount of time designated for the tribulation, described in Revelation chapter 6. And also found in Revelation chapter 7. The Bible is a wonderful book. Preacher, would you do us a favor before we go home? Let us take a look at this again. All right. Tribulation. I wish you could see this. We planned to have it on the overhead projector, but that's right. We didn't get it. Mike did everything he could to get it ready. But that's okay. Here we are. Tribulation, 7 years. 3.5 years, 3.5 years. 1,260 days, 1,260 days. The last 3.5 years referred to in the Scripture as the Great Tribulation. You can do this as well as I could do it, but I did it for you. 1,260 days, that's 42 months. 42 months, that's 1,260 days. Isn't that smart? You just folks didn't realize I was so brilliant. 1,260 days plus 30 equals 1,290. That's what you find in Daniel chapter 12. I just read it to you a few moments ago. And I also read in Daniel chapter 12, 1,335 days. I don't think that's just an accident that it's there. I think it's there on purpose for you and me to be able to be challenged to learn about these things. And this would be referred to then as Daniel's 70th week. That's the reason why we call it the millennium and 75 days of preparation. I've said this many times over the last 45 years. You're the most magnificent group of people on the face of God's earth. And you always listen so attentively and so carefully. I want to remind you again, there's not anything more wonderful than for us to realize how sweet and great and magnificent it is to have this relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that we're saved by His grace. And there's not anything more wonderful for the believer than for you and me to have what we classify and call vertical, divine viewpoint. We can only get that by doing what we do here over and over and over again, what you do at home when you study God's Word. You desire to be in fellowship with the Lord, and you desire to see things as God sees. We call this seeing vertically, seeing as God sees. Not horizontally, not human viewpoint, but seeing things vertically from a divine viewpoint. There may be someone hearing this voice today who has never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I do not know where you are or what your condition is. But I do know this, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that's your greatest need. God's Word tells us that Jesus Christ, the pre-existent Christ, was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to the earth as the God-man. God, altogether God, altogether man. God incarnate. He came for the specific purpose of going to the cross to die for the sins of the world, to die for your sins, for mine. And no matter who you are or where you are today, if you will accept Him, I promise you, He will accept you. He does not lie. He tells the truth. And He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. There's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ, because He was the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. That means that salvation is God's plan for mankind. It's by faith alone and Christ alone. We spend the last 30 seconds of this service in prayer. For you, wherever you are, if you've not accepted Jesus Christ, to do that now. May we pray together, please. Father, we are grateful today for your willingness to give your Son. And we are thankful indeed for the willingness of the Son, Jesus Christ, to leave the heaven's glory and come to the earth to be God in the flesh, for the specific purpose of going to the cross to bear the sins of the world, to bear our sins. And we pray that even at this very moment, there will be those who will say yes to our Savior and make the most important decision ever to be made in life, and that is to be saved by grace. Because the Scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. No boasting on our part. Salvation is God's gift to mankind, and a gift is to be received. We pray that there will be many today who will accept that gift. And we thank you over and over again for your wonderful blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.